The Hangover on Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. It wasn't quite Black Tuesday, but it was a dark Tuesday, to say the least. A plunge in the Chinese stock market had investors yelling sell all day long. At one point, the Dow was down 546 points. Without further ado, here are the final numbers. The Dow lost 416 points, more than 3%. That wipes out all of its gains for this year. It was the worst one-day performance since September 11th. The NASDAQ dropped almost 4%, 96 points. The S&P 500 fell 50, that's 3.5%. Today, the Chinese stock market rebounded. It gained back almost half of yesterday's 9% loss. But other Asian markets were still rattled. Japan's Nikkei fell 3%. Stocks in the Philippines lost 8%. We're going to check in with London right now. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is a fund manager with Seven Investments. Justin, what's happening on the European exchanges this morning?
Markets are still pretty nervous this morning. We were expecting a drop-off of some 100 points on the FTSE 100, which are the 100 largest stocks in the UK. But in fact, actually, having dropped for 100 points to start with, but then come back up, and we're now only down some 68 points. But there's no real drive for recovery yet. And I think a lot of it is going to be waiting to actually see what happens when New York opens.
And when we look at the whole picture here, is this all about China?
No, it's not. What you've actually got here is an issue where we've actually got a market which has been pretty overvalued in some of the emerging markets. And really, you saw something like China almost as the excuse rather than the reason. China, remember, went up 100% last year in valuations. But a lot of other markets had also been going up pretty strongly. And frankly, I think this looks like a more reasonable, healthy correction rather than necessarily turning into anything more unpleasant.
And are investors expecting more declines over the next few days, or do you think this will be a quick one?
I think there will be a period of weakness. You have to put this into comparison with the sort of complacency that we've had in global economies. We've had four good years of equity markets rising, and it is really quite astonishing that how much risk people are taking on. The main driver, I think, overall is actually yourselves in the United States, because we all look to the American economy being the dominant global economy, and I think the phrase is, how low, how slow does it go?
Okay, Justin, thank you.
My pleasure.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investments in London. Toyota made it official yesterday. It's building a billion-dollar plant in Mississippi. Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
The Mississippi plant will be built in Elvis Country near Tupelo. Peter Brown of Automotive News says rural workers will fit into what the company calls the Toyota way.
They drive out inefficiency, and it's nice to start with people with a clean sheet of paper when you're doing that.
The Mississippi workers will be making Highlanders, a sport utility vehicle. Haven't SUV sales been falling? They were, but Western Michigan University's K.C. O'Shaughnessy says they bounced back when gas prices fell.
We like big trucks. You know, I think certainly the SUVs will get smaller, but I don't think they're going away.
Toyota's Highlander is billed as a mid-sized SUV. It comes as a hybrid, but Toyota doesn't plan to build any hybrids in Mississippi. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. By Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Tomorrow, the House votes on whether to make a major change in how workers choose whether to join a union. It's been done the same way since 1935, by secret ballot under the National Labor Relations Act. But House Democrats want to end the secret ballots and just have a straight up or down vote. Commentator Robert Reich believes it's about time.
The right to form a union isn't worth the paper the National Labor Relations Act is written on if you can get fired from your job for trying to form one. While it's illegal for an employer to do this, the penalty for getting caught is a slap on the wrists. Charges of illegal dismissals take years to wind their way through the National Labor Relations Board, And even when the board finds that an employer acted illegally, the worst that can happen is the worker has to be rehired and given back pay that was lost. In 2005 alone, over 30,000 American workers were awarded back pay because their employers were found to have illegally fired or otherwise discriminated against them for their union activities. A half century ago, most employers obeyed the law and allowed workers to organize. But in the 1980s and 90s, competition heated up. Investors demanded higher returns, employers felt increasing pressure to cut wages, and union busting became the name of the game. Nowadays, even though polls show most workers would organize a union if they could, the process is so long and drawn out, so susceptible to illegal firings and harassment, it's rare they even get to choose. So why not a simple up or down vote on having a union? Employer groups say this would allow pro-union workers to intimidate other workers. So even if a majority is in favor, they say, employers should still be able to call for a secret ballot. But that's the current rule, the practical effect of which has been to give employers time to use threats and coercion to prevent unionization. A secret ballot sounds democratic, but workplaces aren't democracies because employers have the power to hire and fire. That's where the potential for intimidation lies, and the only way around it is to go with a simple up or down vote. America's rising economic tide has been lifting executive yachts, but leaving most working people in leaky boats. Workers need more bargaining power. They should be allowed to form a union when a majority of them wants one. As simple as that.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He was the labor secretary under President Clinton. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. One final labor note. Looks like Chrysler is joining the carmaker buyout parade. The Wall Street Journal says some employees will be offered early retirement packages and buyouts worth up to $100,000. Like its rivals GM and Ford, Chrysler plans to cut thousands of jobs. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.